Jesus' name, we just thank you for your word. It's truly your words are spirit in their life.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you, Father, that you're the Holy Spirit, and that you would just lead us and guide us as we go through this word today. Help us to share that which would bring edification and growth in our lives and in the lives of people who hear this class. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. We ask you to bless Sister Kathy. She's not here today. And Brother Mike, as he's traveling to watch his grandson play, and Mark and Joey as they're traveling home, and everybody that didn't make it here today, we ask you to just keep your hand of love and mercy on them, and we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise God.
We're in Matthew chapter 13, verse 23 to verse 33.
Okay.
As for what was sown on the good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. Another parable he set forth before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed also, what's that, darnel weeds, resembling wheat, among the wheat, and went on his way. And when the plant sprouted and formed grain, the darnel weeds appeared also. And the servants of the owner came to him and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? And how does it have darnel shoots in it? He replied to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, then do you want us to go and weed them out? But he said, no, least in gathering the wild wheat weeds, resembling wheat, you root up the true wheat along with it. And let them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will say to the reapers, gather the darnel first and bind it in bundles, be burned. But gather the wheat into my granary. Another story by way of comparison, he set forth before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Of all the seeds, it is the smallest, but when it has grown, it is the largest of the garden herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and find shelter in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leavened sourdough, which a woman took and covered over in three measures of meal or flour till all of it was leavened.
Okay. Let's go back first and talk about the verse 23, okay? Verse 23, where it says, and this is out of the King James. That was the Amplified Bible that Buddy was reading out of. And here's what it says in the King James. It says, but he that received good seed in good ground is he that beareth, heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 30, and some 60, and some 30. And you know, I like that he's talking about three rounds there. He's talking about three amounts of fruit. And I'm going to tell you, in our Christian relationship, there's three levels in that Christian relationship. There's the basic relationship. I'm going to go from 30 to 60 to 100. I'm going to go the other way. But I believe he started at 100 because he wants everyone to come to the 100. Okay? And you got to realize that when he talked to them in parables, he was talking to them about things that they could understand in the natural, but they really had a spiritual implication. And anyway, so when he talked, let's talk about the 30-fold first. I think the 30-fold represents basic salvation. And it's a wonderful realm, and it's open for anyone. Anyone can move into that realm at any time. Then there's a 60-fold realm, and 60-fold realm is a realm of, it's more of moving into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a deeper walk with God, even being sort of a priest, you know, kind of situation. And then there's the 100-fold realm, and the 100-fold realm is the Holy of Holies. It's where you're coming into the fullness of God, where you go in and the Shekinah glory is in there. And you realize that the sacrifice has all been paid, it's all been done, you know, and you realize that it's the fullness of the body of Christ. It's coming to the full measure of the stature of Christ. That's what I see in this, you know. And when we come to realize that in the 30-fold realm, it's like in the Old Testament, they had the tabernacle in the wilderness, they had the outer court. The outer court was 30-fold realm. Anybody could go there, you know. But then there was the inner court, which only the priest could go to minister to the Lord. And then there was the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go in once a year. And he had to go in with a blood sacrifice. Well, we know Jesus fulfilled the high priestly. He was the high priest, a type of the Melchizedek priesthood order, which was an order of blessing. He paid the debt for all of us, and he poured out his blood, which was the blood sacrifice, and it only had to be done one time. And yet the other realm was the realm of the Spirit. It was a realm of ministry. It was a realm. A lot of times we think of people as ministering, ministers being, they should do all the work. They're the guys that should be going and praying for everybody. They should be doing. And really, that's not really true. Everybody should be praying and ministering and stuff. But even in the relationship of understanding, in the 30-fold realm, you know, different people have different ideas about basic salvation. And that's okay. But if you go on to know the Lord in deeper ways, then you can move into the 60-fold. And at 60-fold, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit. You begin to minister to the Lord. And when I say minister to the Lord, a lot of times when you realize he said, I'll not give my glory to another, the body of Christ is not another. Even though they're in the 30-fold realm, we should love them. We should minister to them and however God bids us to do that. But in that 100-fold realm, we go in, we minister in the presence, the total presence of God in the fullness, you know. And, you know, we've had those two realms functioning really good over the years, but we need the body of Christ to start functioning in that third realm. And, you know, I think years ago we had Brother Skinner here, and he, you know, kind of explained the difference between the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold. And he said that when you entered into the 30-fold realm, you had to enter in there by faith. You know, so you had to, you know, acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You had to acknowledge him, and you had, by faith, you received him and his presence into your life, and you took a hold of his forgiveness and everything. Then if you moved into the 60-fold realm, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and things like that, and that was a little deeper realm, you had to walk in there by faith also. You know, and just to give an example of something in my life, I know when I first got saved, and the Lord had even shown me when I was a young boy that I was called to minister, you know. And I think I was about 14, 15 years old, something like that, teenager, you know, when he showed me that. But, you know, that didn't come to pass for quite a few years because, first of all, when God showed me that vision, I said, Lord, that's not me. That's not me. I can't do that. You know, because I had those seizures and things when I was real young, and I didn't like to be in crowds, didn't like to get up in front of people. I'm still kind of standoffish. They had a thing the other day for Connie, you know, which used to come to church here, Carl's daughter. Mm-hmm. It was her birthday thing, and they had invited some of the people around here that mm-hmm. could come to a thing at her, had like a little party thing or something, you know, acknowledge her birthday. And Brother Carl says, well, where's Oscar? And Martha says, well, he's home resting. I didn't go, you know. I still like that. I still don't like to get in large crowds and stuff like that. But when it comes to ministering in the Lord, I could minister to 5 or 5,000. I mm-hmm. think it doesn't make any difference, because that's relying totally on Him. You know what I mean? I still don't like large crowds. I still don't like to. Susan's.
Did he seem disappointed you didn't come?
Huh?
Did he seem disappointed you didn't come?
Well, Susan was standing there, and she says, well, you know, she says, Oscar's a lot like Brother Eddie. She says, her dad, you know, who was the minister here for years. Mm-hmm. She says, he would come to things, and then he'd slip away off into a corner or something.
Yeah.
I said, well, that's true. That's about the same way I am. Mm-hmm.
That
you
was
know.
Nice.
But anyway, she says, yeah, she says, he's a lot like my dad was, you know. And mm-hmm. I said, well, you know. But anyway, so that realm there is a realm of ministry. But when you go into the Holy of Holies, I believe that's where you minister directly to the Lord. And you do minister to the Lord in people too, because His presence is in the body of Christ, you know. And you know, that type of the temple area that was depicted in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, when Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. That thing was, we have to realize that was a type and a shadow, because Scripture tells us, know you not, you're the temple of God. And if we're the temple of God, then His presence is in people, you know. And that's where His presence is. That's where the outer court is, which the outer court is sometimes a court that is an in part realm, and we deal with Christians in that. We see the in part realm. We still see the realm of the flesh there, and sometimes the attitudes of the flesh at times, even in Christians, you know.
And in ourselves.
And in ourselves, that's right. We always want to point back to self, that's right. And we see that, but we also see the ministry. But sometimes people get even their eyes focused on the ministry part, and they really shouldn't get their eyes focused on that, because that's an in part realm still. That's not the fullness of the thing. And you know, Scripture doesn't say by their works shall you know them, or by their ministry shall you know them. It says by their what? Their fruits shall you know. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, and all those kind of things. And that's where you can really only know somebody. When you see those fruits in people come into fullness, then you know that they've either entered into that realm of the hundredfold, or they're coming very close to it, because that's what we're to really judge people by, not by their works, you know, because they're, you know, the gifts and the callings of God, Scripture says, are without repentance, you know. And there's people out there that can minister, and they can prophesy, and they can do a lot of things, but they haven't attained anything other than just flowing in that ministry. And we need to realize that sometimes, because people have a tendency to put those kind of people on a pedestal, you know. Well, that's Brother so-and-so, boy, he's really got a strong prophetic word, or he got this or that. Well, if you get around Brother so-and-so very long, you'll see that 30-fold realm in him too.
Yeah.
Part, you know, that showing the flesh, you know, kind of thing. But anyway, so I just wanted to kind of hit on that a little bit, you know, because that 100-fold realm is where God wants us to be. And that's where ultimately we're all going to come to. And in that 100-fold realm, it will be the Holy of Holy realm, where we minister to God, and we realize when we minister to the body of Christ, we're ministering to Him, not to them, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? I hope that makes sense. But even years ago, when the Lord talked to me about the hem of his garment, and he told, and he had me go back and study the Old Testament about when the high priest would go in. He had his robe, on his robes he had a pomegranate and a bell, a pomegranate and a bell all the way around it, and they were red and blue and purple, you know. Mm-hmm. And the bells were a golden bell. Mm-hmm. And pomegranates are real seedy, so it talks about life. You know, it's talking about abundant life, you know, a lot of life, you know, because when you open a pomegranate up, all you mainly see is seeds. And the bell part is a golden bell, which talks about the divine nature of God. And that word for bell back there is a word like paramon, is the way it's pronounced. And it literally has the meaning of hundredfold. And you cannot enter in without there being abundant life and without, you know, the divine nature of God being exposed into that hundredfold realm, you know what I mean? And but anyway, that's all I had to say about that. So that's a lot. I know I said a lot. But you guys got anything you want to say, jump in there. If not, we'll go on a little further.
On the bell, you said the word was
paramount. I think it's paramount. Let me look it up for you. I'll see if I can find it here. I'll see if I can find it here. Well, I probably can find it faster with my phone than I can with that. High priest in the Old Testament, golden bells around the hem of his garment.
First got saved, that's where God was speaking to me, and was in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And I was opening things there more so than in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, one of the reasons when they said that when the high priest went in with the sacrifice, the only thing he took in there was the altar of incense and the blood sacrifice. And I've read in some reference books where they talk about that they think that they had a rope tied around his foot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, something happens to him.
And the reason that they did is if you didn't hear those bells ringing when he was in there that were around the hem of his garment, then they would drag him out because it meant he was dead. God either killed him or let him die in there. But you know, that was something I read one time, and I thought, wow, that makes a lot of sense, you know.
Yeah, I heard it a long time ago.
But the altar of incense, you know, that's the prayer and the praise of the saints, you know. That's the real true prayer and praise of the saints. And you can't go in there, you can't enter into the Holy of Holies without entering in through praise, you know. And prayer, that's the only way you enter there, you know. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. But that was neat when I saw that years ago. Yeah, that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Let me see.
You talked about seeds of a pomegranate. Those are the things you eat.
Yeah, oh yeah. And a pomegranate, I got a pomegranate one time when I was a kid. I wasn't exposed to that much stuff when we were kids. We wouldn't have a lot of money. We were kind of poor, you know.
Don't feel alone.
I mean, we didn't know we were poor. Nobody told us we were poor, you know. But mother was raising four kids by herself. My dad died, and she worked in a factory. Women didn't make no money back, that, you know, back in the 50s and 60s. You know, back in there, they didn't make no money. And she did good. You know, she did very good. She would do without things to make sure we had things. You know, that's the kind of mother she was. And but anyway. I went in this grocery store, big grocery store, and it had pomegranate there, and I thought, what is that thing? You know, brown looking, reddish brown looking thing. And I got one, and I took it, and I opened it up. I thought, I'm going to see what this thing is. And it had all them seeds in it, and it was red inside, you know, red inside. And it tasted okay. I mean, I you know, I tasted it and all that, and it tasted okay, but there was a ton of seeds in there, and it was very seedy. So later on, and I'm sure God had me do that just so that I would understand when I saw that pomegranate around the hem of the high priest's garment. And anyway, so later on, I totally understood that when I saw that. I thought, well, that's why. And it had those different colors, red, blue, and purple. Mm-hmm. Red talks about the blood of Christ. Blue talks about the vastness of God. You know, the sky is blue. I mean, you're surrounded by the sky all the time.
Yeah.
And purple talks about the royalness of God. Yeah. You know, because that's, you know, purple's a royal color.
Yeah.
And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you know. And
I grew a pomegranate tree in Arizona.
Did you?
And the outside was yellow.
Was it?
I don't know if it wasn't ripe then. Or
yeah,
what.
It must not have been ripe. Cause
I put it in the ground, and about a year, it was pretty tall. Surprised me. And they had a couple pomegranates on it. I pulled one down. It was yellow on the outside. When it opened up, it was like somewhat red. So it must not have been real white.
Probably wasn't.
I was surprised.
Was there like a reddish brown, you know, outside color? And it's kind of a hard looking surface on them, and, you know.
I was surprised that I could grow it in there.
Well, see, there again, you got a chance to see that before it was ripe. And you know, when we see the fruit of the Spirit in people's lives, sometimes we're looking at it before it's ripe.
Yeah.
we have to bear with it a little bit, because it's not ripe. It needs some more sunshine, it needs some more rain, it needs some more nourishment by the root.
I wasn't that familiar with pomegranate in the first place. So.
Yeah.
Because I never got pomegranate like that.
Right. And you know, they talk about palm oil, palm juice, you know, being really, really good for you healthy-wise to drink it, you know. I've heard that many a time. I've never tried it. I need to try it sometime. But they say it's extremely a healthy thing to do, to drink pomegranate juice. Yeah. Let me see if I can find that.
I drink it.
I drink it
somewhat.
Yeah.
They say that black cherry is good for you too. But
yeah.
If you get it off the tree, that is, straight from the tree.
Yeah.
No process.
Well, half of the stuff that you eat, you're better off. It's not been processed, because they put stuff in it to preserve it and all that kind of stuff. They mess it up. Let's see what I find this here.
Well, it's a pomegranate. When one is, because I watch the cooking channel a lot, and they call it a mango. Is that something different? It has
all these
seeds in
it,
just like the pomegranate.
Yeah, that's different.
But it has a whole lot of seeds in it too, just like the pomegranate.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah, pomegranate. I can pull you up a picture of one if you want in just a minute when I get this other thing here. Okay, let's try it here.
This is a reddish brown on the outside, and when you cut it open, the flesh is red, and then it's all these seeds in there too. So I'm wondering if they're calling it something else, or there is something that is a mango that is called mango. That is like that. Because they always hated to get it. You know, they were required to make a dish. And to cook, you know, they'll give you different things and see what you can make out of it.
Yeah.
And I remember they always, when they had to try to make a dish out of it.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the hem of his garment here. So pay attention to me, I'm looking for it here. The Lord gave me a poem about that one time. I tried to quote it, but I haven't quoted it in so long, I'd probably mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Urim and a Thummim. High priest. Those were the things where they got their answer from the Lord. You know what that Urim and Thummim means? Have you ever seen that in the Old Testament? That was the stones that they had inside the breastplate, supposedly.
Yeah.
And they would, well, I mean, as far as we know, and they got their answers from God, from that. The high priest got his answers from God from that. And Urim and Thummim means lights and perfection.
How does it spell? You are.
You are, I am, I think. Urim and Thummim. Well, just a minute, and I'll go back to it. I'll give it to you in a minute. Epi and the rest. Okay. I'll find it here.
And you said these stones are in the
breastplate.
The Urim and the Thummim were the high priest had those.
In the breastplate?
Yeah. It was, he supposedly kept them inside the breastplate, they think. And some of them have said they thought, some people have said they thought that it would glow on the breastplate, but there's supposed to be two stones, you know. Mm-hmm. If you look up in Revelations, it talks about he'll give you a stone, you know, a white stone or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let me see if I can find it here. I'm backing up from my original thing here. I was looking up here. Names of children. Okay, purple. Okay. This. Yeah.
What is it, Urim stand for what?
What
they stand for?
That actually means lights and perfection.
Lights and perfection.
Yeah. Urim and Thummim, it's called. Yeah. If I'm pronouncing that right, I think I am. You guys need to talk a little bit so it ain't gonna be long.
All right,
thing.
Then.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at different things that God uses or shows you.
Yeah.
To speak something, a revelation of Him to you.
Everything declares Him. Everything. Everything. In the Scripture, everything is about Him and you, your relationship. And if you come to understand that, boy, I tell you what. Stuff just leaps out at you when you see it, and you begin to see, oh my God, you know, I see how that relationship, you know, fits with things that are happening in my life. Urim, it's U-R-I-M.
Okay.
And Thummim is T-H-U-M-M-I-N.
T-H-U-M-M-I-N.
U-M-M-I-M.
You are right.
Urim and Thummim.
Yes.
Let's see. Yeah, well, let me look this up. I'll tell you what it says on here.
Okay. All right.
Just a minute. Okay. Urim means lights. L-I-G-H-T-S. Lights. It says stones kept in a pouch on the high priest's breastplate in determining God's decision in certain questions and issues. Okay. And let me look this one up too. Thummim. Urim and Thummim. Thummim means perfection. Stone provide for, which means to achieve sacred light, used Urim and Thummim to detect the will of God.
Mm.
Was
revealed,
yeah. Well, and think about that. What did they say in Scripture? Jesus said, "Be you what? Because your Father in heaven is, be you perfect." And what did Thurm's name mean? Perfection.
Perfection.
And I mean, and the other one was the Urim meant light.
Light.
Yeah, lights and perfection. See. Well, we know that. Well, what was our basic little song that we sang as a kid? This little light of mine,
light.
This little light of mine, and he, what was he? He was the light,
yes,
that lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Yes.
So I mean, everything in the Scriptures talks about him, and talks about relationship, and everything. And I mean, it's so amazing when God opens His Word like that, and you think, oh my God, you're all over this, you know, and mm-hmm. It's really simple if. You would think that to a certain extent the Jewish people would understand some of these things because
yeah.
they know what these words mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't always know. You know, we gotta study to show ourselves approved. A workman rightly dividing the word, you know. But anyway, let's go back to that, see if we can find that bell. Yeah, I'll get you the actual spelling of it. I might be pronouncing it wrong. Let's see. Okay. Let's see if it tells.
God has been speaking to me about the body of Christ and each one of us in our desired, which is His desired position, and our oneness, and our oneness. And the way I was going to town one day, and when He showed me, have you ever seen the swarm of birds, or small birds, but they fly and they're in a whole swarm and all of them together in a group. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw it. They're going in town and they all came in a swarm. One just big group. They all landed right there beside the road. I think they were like eating like the little salt or what.
Yeah.
One that was on the road. And then as my car got closer, then they all just picked up together, went all off, and God was showing me how in sync that they were one group, but each one was in a desired, a position, an assigned place in Him. He was showing me, and showing me that they were flying in sync, and they were tasting and sharing together, and they flew off, but they each had a different position in Him and a responsibility,
right,
and a sharing, because He was revealing Himself to them differently, but they were all one.
Mm-hmm.
And He was showing me that how they took off, and He was saying that's His plan for us. You know how Christ has said that we be one,
right,
as
right.
He is. But it was just so the way they just came all in like this,
right,
and all landed together.
Right.
And it may be in a couple hours, a little outside. But then as I got closer, then they all went up and like looked like a wave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, even when birds fly, there's always one out in the front, and they fly in that V form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, ducks and geese and stuff like that do the same thing. Well, the one in the front is breaking the wind. It's like an airplane, why it has a pointed nose.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks the wind, and then it causes the wind to dissipate, like, you know. And I've read different times about what happens with birds is that when they're flying a long distance, like going south, one will be up there and will be leading, and then after a while it drops off and another one slides up there. Mm-hmm. And they keep, you know, that way it's spread out, you know, amongst, and that even talk, if you think about that, that even talks about the body of Christ, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, God gives to one a word, and he gives to another one this, and he gets, you know, and whatever's needed at that moment,
yeah,
is what is pushed forward, you know, like that. But anyway, that word is the translation of it. I'll spell that for you, and then I'll tell you what the way is pronounced. And it's P-A, and then it's got like a hyphen in there, A-M-O-N. And then the pronunciation of it is PAHAM/AM/ONE.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll actually play it for you if you want to hear what it's pronounced.
Strong's H6472. Paramon.
Yeah.
Second entry. Paneach. Paneach.
That's a second entry. Now I don't know how you spell that, I have no doubt. But here's what I'm gonna tell you. Now here's what it says. It says Bell. That's all it says.
Mm-hmm.
It says High Priest Road, but wait just a minute. Then it has the root word here, see? Let's see if we get it here. It comes from this word. Let's see here. Okay, it has a bunch of different words here, but I'll tell you. But what stuck out to me was what I told you, the hundredfold.
Mm-hmm.
It says the application as follows: anvil, corner, foot, step, going, hundredfold, you know. And now, this, once, order, rank, step, thrice, often, second, this, two, time, twice, and wheel. That's the total definition of the root word of that paramount. But when I saw the hundredfold in there, I thought, nah, that tells me that that's the hundredfold realm it's talking about, you know. And you know, you even when you look up definitions and stuff, you got to kind of say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to say to me here?
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand that even what we were reading here about the 30 to 60 and the hundredfold, you know, then you begin to see, well, yeah, that bell was golden. It was divine nature of God. When it rang in there, it was proclaiming the divine nature of God in that presence, you know, in the Holy of Holies. And I mean, it really, to me, when I see those things, it just, all that stuff just jumps out at me, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean? But, you know. But anyhow. Okay, we should go on no farther. We won't get very far today. We go get on to 3600. All right. Okay. All right.
Because you're starting again at 24. Because you left off at 33. You left off at what?
We read 23. Now 24 says,
and said, all the way down.
Another parable put he forth the kingdom unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But when the man slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth, then appeared the tares. So the servant of the house holder came and said unto him, Sir, Didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence came these tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, least while you gather them up the tares, you root up also the wheat. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, Gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, I can tell you exactly what the Lord speaks to me about that. We're not totally perfect in ourselves, and we all have tares come up in our life. And when thou sleeps, now you know, and what different times in Scripture, many, many times in Scripture, he would say, Awake thou that sleepest. And in one place he said, Awake thou that sleepest, and God, Christ will give you light, or God will give you light. Well, all of the human race just about is asleep. They're not awake. They haven't wakened up to what God has already done and what he's already accomplished. Part of our ministry as being the word of reconciliation is to tell them what he has already done and to try help waking them up to reality in God. You know, I love what the Phillips says, that if reality Phillips in the epistles of John, it says, man cannot as yet see reality because he's chosen to be blind. You know, not because he's chosen to be blind, but because God has so limited him. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, I don't know if it's in Romans or Corinthians, where it talks about every man's work will be tried as it were by fire. Okay. The wood, the hay, and the stubble will be burned up, and only the precious will remain. Well, what is wood, hay, and stubble? Yeah. It's something that's temporary. Mm-hmm. It will vanish. It's going to go away. And he basically said there that even when a man, I can't give you the exact quote right now, but even when a man is... I guess when he's not doing the right thing or whatever, he said the wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up, but he'll be saved. See, and God has to be the one to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. We can't burn it up. I mean, try as hard as you might to do everything perfect, you're going to mess up because you're doing it in your ability. And that's why it was necessary for him to come without sin, a lamb without spot or wrinkle, to be the sacrifice. And you know, he was the firstborn among many brethren. He is our very life, you know, because we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, and all those different things, you know. So when we realize what he's saying here, even about these tares being sown in there when a man's sleeping, well, a lot of times we don't even realize those. When you're sleeping, you don't know what's happening around you. You know, you're asleep. But, and a lot of times we don't realize things are even still in our life until God wakes us up enough to see that, oh my God, I thought that was gone years ago. I know I used to be judgmental, or used to do this, or used to do that. And then you find, wow, I still got them tares in there. There's some of them in there. And yet you can't pull them up. Try as hard as you might sometimes to change yourself. Sometimes you just can't do it, you know. And we have to wait until the reaper comes, and the reaper's God. And when he comes and begins to totally reap, he's going to make a separation. He's going to separate the wood, hay, and stubble from the precious. And what's the only precious thing that's in you?
Him.
Him? That's right. Oh, You know, it's funny how we're going in this direction, because I when I was preparing the sermon this morning, I was thinking, oh, Lord, what am I going to share with people today? And I always feel like that, you know. And when I share some of the things that he gave me to share today, I think it'll fit pretty much with what we've been talking about, a lot of it. But you know, when you look at that stuff, you know, even those things like that, you know, those terrors being in there, those terrors are the fleshly nature. They're the natural man, you know. They're the fleshly man. Can't conceive, can't know the things of God, that part of you. But the spiritual part of you knows all things, you know. But sometimes it takes a while before those spring up and to where they're ready for the harvest, you know what I mean. And I hope all this makes sense. I know that I'm kind of going totally off my cuff here because I didn't have a chance to really get into this, but that's what I'm seeing here, you know. You guys got anything you want to say, please jump in there and say whatever you'd like to say.
You know, what we read, 23 till we stop.
Uh-huh.
You go over to verses 36 and read on down.
Uh-huh.
Tells you what 23 really speaks of, really. Mm-hmm. Says, he who sows the good wheat seed is the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about Jesus, right?
Right. God.
And the field is the world.
Uh-huh.
And the good seeds mean the children of the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
And the tare is the children of the evil one.
Uh-huh.
And if you go a little bit further, 39,
yeah.
And the evil and the enemy who sowed it in is the devil.
Uh-huh.
And the harvest is a close and consummation of the age, and the mm-hmm. reapers are the angels.
Mm-hmm. And let's just talk about some of those things right there. When it says, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. We know that's Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, when he doesn't say Son of God, he says Son of Man,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, we know he identified with us so that we would do what? Identify with him,
yes.
Okay? You know, because he could have just came back, come and said, I'm the Son of God, period, you know, but he talked himself about the Son of Man. And it says, and the field is the world. That's the
yeah.
worldly system. The good seed are the children of the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't care what you say, we all still have some wickedness in us. Because we still have that duality of nature. We haven't came to the point where we're totally single, our eyes totally single.
Mm-hmm.
And when talking about your eye being single, it's talking about your focus being totally focused on him in all things and all situations. And a lot of times we find ourselves focused on other things and our vision is divided. It's not always directed in that one direction. And then when it goes on here and it says, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Okay? Who is the devil? What's the devil? Isn't he the accuser of the brethren?
Yes.
Now, how many times do you go out of church here, drive down the street or something, and somebody makes you mad? And I'll tell you, like the other day, I come out of Kroger's. I'm driving up straight road to come out of Kroger's. You know, it's actually
yeah.
still out of their parking lot. I get up to where there's a crossroad that goes, it's another part out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
This girl starts turning. And there's nothing I could do because I'm already past her, you know, to a certain extent. And I'm saying, don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me. And she hits the back of my car.
Oh, my goodness.
She She didn't do a tremendous amount of damage. You can look at it when you go out there if you want to. It's on the driver's side at the rear quarter panel. First thing she says is, I'm sorry. And I was aggravated. I mean, I was ticked off because, you know, that's the nicest car I've ever had.
Yeah.
And here it's got banged up, you know. So I'm a little bit aggravated. She says, I'm sorry. She says, I wasn't texting. Guess what she was probably doing?
Texting.
Yeah. And anyway, so I contacted her insurance company, and her insurance company, I got the adjuster guy. I got his number. I called him. He was supposed to call me Friday at a certain time. He didn't call me, you know. So those kind of things, you know, because I was pretty aggravated at her hitting my car because I thought, daggone it. You know, she's here I got this nice car and she done banged up the back of it. And it's not terrible. It's not a terrible dent, you know. But it's still messed it up, you know. It was a really nice looking car, you know. But there you go. You get your eyes on something else sometimes, and God lets somebody bang it or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, the accuser of the brethren is the one that would say, well, you know, you should have been all, oh, it's all right, honey, you know, and it's okay, you know. I wasn't like that. I was kind of aggravated. I told her, I said, well, dang on it, you hit my car. And she says, well, you know, I'm sorry. And she says, and the thing is I told Margaret, I says, get out and take a picture. And she didn't get out right away. And the girl moved the car and went over and parked it.
Yeah.
You know, well, she could have had a picture of it sitting there into the back of my car.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't get that picture. So I don't know how that'll turn out. But my insurance company did say, they said, if you don't want to have to wait on them, we'll fix your car and you'll have to pay the $100 deductible. I only have $100 deductible, which probably cost me a lot more money having $100 deductible. But I kept it from years ago, you know.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, I'll see if I can get them to pay it, because I think any time the insurance company gets in there, they raise your rate a little bit. I don't care what they say.
Yeah, when I hit that, I changed companies.
Yeah.
When I hit that chair in the road.
Yeah.
And sometimes.
And that wasn't really your fault. That was.
No, but they and they told me too, and I had State Farm. I changed to Allstate.
Yeah, State Farm.
And he said they don't have that accident of yours in here, so you really don't have to claim it, because they claimed it as an accident I had, even though it was not an at fault one.
Yeah.
They raised my insurance, but I was certainly glad they fixed my car. My car was like a new car, you know. But it's made me more careful, because I said, I don't like banging this up or getting anything happening, you know, to it. But yeah, you are like a more cautious than I was.
Yeah. Let's go on just a little bit further here. And it says, therefore the tares are get, let's see, and it says, and the enemy that sowed them was the devil, which is the accuser of the brethren. And it says, and the harvest is the end of the world, the end of this age, end of the world, the aeon age. And it says, and the reapers are the angels. Well, what are the angels? Angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. Okay, so you got to kind of read between the lines when you read this stuff sometimes.
Oh, yeah, because they think it's the end. The world's going to end. They don't look at it as an age. Most people, when they read.
And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be at the end of this world, it says, but it's coming age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom the things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and they shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now see, that's where, honestly, even when we read scripture, we have to pray every day, Lord, give me ears to hear what your spirit is really saying in this. everything that was in here, in the scriptures, was a love letter to the saints. And it's written, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of people don't like when you say this, but it's written in code. It's written in a way that he's your lover. He'll let you realize what you're really seeing there. There's different depths of it. There's always a 30-fold, a 60-fold, and a 100-fold. You know, and the 30-fold is just like it reads. The 60-fold is a little deeper. The 100-fold is where you really begin to see exactly what he's saying there, see? And you know, and I know that that sounds a little far out, but that's the way I approach scripture when I read it. I say, Lord, what are you really trying to show me here? Because, yeah. I don't know what you're trying to say here, you know. But anyway, when we come to realize that a lot of this stuff, you know, he's given them an explanation, but they haven't really come to the total revelation of everything that he's doing. You know, they'll understand things way better later on, you know. And when he washed their feet and stuff, he says, you don't know what I'm doing to you now. Yeah. He said, later on you'll understand it. But he gave them a little bit of an explanation. But the greater explanation is even greater than what he told them, you know, because we should try to wash everybody's feet,
yes.
Wash mankind's feet, you know.
Yes.
But anyway, praise the Lord. I guess we should close in a word of prayer and get out there.
Yes.
You want to close?
Yes. Father, we just thank you for the word that we shared this day, revealing yourself to us. And we ask in that service that you be glorified, that you speak forth, and that we receive that which you
yes.
bring unto us this day. We thank you and give you praise, O God, as we go forward. And thank you for what we shared this day. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I remember.